In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today we were reminded quite dramatically that Palm Sunday is inextricably connected with crucifixion. In Egypt there were bombings, and people died. And I will say this to you, it's a good thing, because we need to be reminded that you are bought, you are purchased with the price of blood. The church continues with the price of blood. We make great event of all of the lives of the saints who have died for the sake of the church. We count our calendar Anno Martyri, the year of the martyrs. When people die, it is not a bad thing. It is a good thing, because it reminds us that without the Lord Jesus Christ having died on the cross, he who was without sin, who was completely innocent, well, he died for you and he died for me. Now, I want to say about the feast that the joy that we feel is when he enters into Jerusalem, it is though that we have opened up the Jerusalem of our heart, so that he is going to go inside and he is going to be received by us with great joy and affection. Not because we know entirely what he is going to do for us, but as we know him in his limited way. Even we now, living in the 21st century, we only know by shadow what the Lord has done and is doing to this very second for us. We know some of the big events, but we don't know what he is doing. There is no possibility for us to thank him for all that he has done or all he is currently doing. But we receive him with great welcome anyway. It's like when little children, who are the most open and the most clear and pure in their emotional life, they run to somebody that they love, and they don't know whether or not this person has done great and marvelous things, or whether it is not any more than just when he looks at that small child, he smiles and opens up his arms to receive the child with a hug. But the child runs, nevertheless, into the arms of the person that would embrace him. And so it is that we hold on to. Now, I want to say something to you before you think that I'm cold-hearted. You know, my grandson Joshua is probably the person that I love most on this planet. And if he would lose the tip of one finger, I would grieve. If he fell and scarred his face, I would grieve every time I looked at his face and saw that blemish, that perfect, beautiful face that means so much to me. If anything would happen to him, how terrible it would be in my life, for me personally, whether anybody else. And imagine if now the bombing had not taken place in Egypt. Imagine if the bombing had taken place here in Los Angeles. Imagine that it were one of our large churches. We would perhaps all of us know someone who died and think of that pain. But even think more specifically, suppose it was in our small church right now that a bomb was detonated and all of you died, every last one of you, and I alone, simply because of where I was on the altar, I was shielded by the iconostasis from the shrapnel, and I somehow survived, not without injury, but hung on to life and survived. Can you imagine how I would go on? I'm telling you, it would break me. I don't know if I would ever be able to pray again without sobbing and recalling the event. So I'm not hard-hearted about the people who died in Egypt. I just don't know them. I don't have that emotional contact with them. God prevent anything from reaching the ears of an antagonist, but if His Holiness were to have died in an explosion, it would not have meant as much to me as if one of you had died, because we are a family of a type, a small family. In the larger context, if something would happen to our patriarch, it would be a great tragedy. He brings so many gifts, so many people he is able to use for the good of the church. And I'm speaking now about the diocesan bishops and the general bishops, His Eminence Our Father, Amma Serapion. Amma Tewodros II is a great person, chosen by God, and for us, at least temporarily, he would seem irreplaceable. So I'm not talking about anything more than just the context of my own flesh. You know, when you love in the flesh, it's always limited because your flesh is limited. How far does it extend? When you love in the spirit, however, it is entirely different. I know it was John Stuart Mill that wrote, I don't know much about him, but I know what he wrote was extremely profound when he said, the death of a single man diminishes me. I don't feel that way. I don't feel, now understand what I just said. I said, feel. This is the province of women. The province of men is logic. The province of women is feel. Women can be logical. Women can be extremely logical. They can be perhaps the best in the room at any one given time in terms of their logic. But what do they resort to, and what do men resort to women for? The content of their emotional life and the way in which they work out life through their emotions. And I don't have to say this by making a lot of different examples in front of you. It's a common and a clear fact. When something like this happens, the way that it affects men and women, it's different in what is seen, but not what occurs necessarily in the interior. I stood next to His Eminence Metropolitan Serapion at the funeral of his mother. I stood next to the grave, next to Amma Serapion, closer than I am to you. When I say next to him, I could reach out and put my arm around him. He did not shed a tear. Do you imagine he did not feel anything for his mother? But men, whether they are taught, whether they are socialized, whether it is something that comes from the milieu in which gave them rise, or whether it's just the way men are, you will find men who are less emotional. There are certainly some that are quite emotional. I remember at the funeral of the father of Abuna Antonius Hanayan, and he wept and he wept and he wept openly and without shame. He was a very emotional man. I love him very much. So I don't want you to confuse what may seem to you to be a flat affect. Yes, I'm concerned about everybody, but I'm more concerned about the people with whom I come into close contact every day, or at least every week. It's just the call of my flesh. Now, I asked my wife early this morning, because she's the one who bore the news. I said, well, what would you do if that happened? I'm not going to tell you what she said, but I'm going to tell you what I wanted her and wished she had said. If a bomb goes off anywhere in the diocese, anywhere, I'm going to be there next week. I'm going to be there to try to support the people that are bereaved, because I know how much it must be consuming every waking second. Remember, I am confessing to you, if my grandson lost the tip of his finger, it would grieve me. If an accident marked his face, it would grieve me. I would cry when I thought about it. Every time I saw a picture of him, I would have the pictures that up to his eighth year, his face is perfect, and then after that, something happens, and I would grieve. All right? So I will not be able to compare what may befall me or one of you with the suffering that the people in Egypt now have as their portion. And if it happened in Los Angeles, I would go and I would try to share and do whatever I could to support them. But more than that, it would be to tell the person who did this thing that not only are prayers going to continue in that place, but they are going to continue with more fervency, more emotion, more passion, more love for Christ, and not crying out for revenge, but simply saying, Father, remember your children. Because there is not a father worth his name that does not remember his children. And what did the Lord say about one of the little ones that had been dissuaded from the faith? It is better for that person who had done so to have a millstone hung around his neck and dropped into the deepest part of the ocean. Fathers don't forget their children. Now, why did I say it was a good thing that it happened? Because wherever the blood of a martyr is shed upon the soil of this earth, something blooms and blossoms and grows. And there is fruit that comes from this sacrifice. It's a horrible sacrifice for an individual to make, but it is a good thing for the church. It is good because it reminds us that, first of all, our life on earth is tenuous. That means that we do not have any firm hope of lasting until tomorrow without the grace that comes to us from our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I heard yesterday from a woman who told me about a man that I have known virtually since my arrival in church, almost four decades now. And he has cancer. He has a spot on his lungs. And he has something that is suspicious in the other lung. And I have had a poor night's sleep because of that. I also found out that something had happened to one of his children that I had not had any knowledge of before. Somebody for whom I have a great deal of affection. And again, when I prayed, the first thing that I mentioned was this man and his daughter. And I will tell you, it's because I know them. It's because of the flesh. It's because I have experience with them. That does not make me embarrassed to say, but it is the fact why I do not feel the same way. Now, if I were a more spiritual man, maybe I would be able to say, as John Stuart Mill had said, the death of a single person diminishes me. But I am not that man, and I don't claim to be that man. I aspire to be that man. But it is going to take God Himself to infuse me with a spirit that is going to embrace all in the same manner. You can be certain, if you have seen that movie called Sophie's Choice, when asked the most horrible question that any one can be asked. She had two children, and the Nazi guard who was at the train said she may keep one, sending the other one to certain death. And she said in these words that I will never forget, because I wanted to scream, she said, take my baby. Well, we are all God's babies, and God doesn't scream. And God doesn't have these emotions, and those babies are with Him now. You can be certain of that. Those babies are enjoying everything that He can give, which is more than the human mind can possibly accommodate. And it's the people now that are left bereaved, where we hope that the Lord's love for them will be a sufficient salve for the wounds emotionally that they have sustained. So I say this to you because why is it good for people to die? To remind us We do not have a hold on life that is guaranteed. And because we are the church of the martyrs, we are the church who counts the blood of the martyrs precious, the relics of the martyrs we count as holy. And for us to give that sacrifice, it shouldn't be a moment of great sadness, but we have to know that every joy, every true joy is connected to sacrifice, to hardship, and maybe even death. You know, when you love the church, one of the things that you love to do is you love to give. It's just like having a child. And you have a child that you love very much, and you're looking for occasions to give to the child. If you're a young adult and you find someone and you think that they might possibly be your mate, you are looking for occasions to give them a good time, to lead them into something that will bind the two of you more closely. When you have love, the thing that you want to do is to share anything at any cost, because their happiness means more than that of your own. I say this because we are going to, if God allows, to have a church, and we will be able to have this expression in our lives for the very first time. Because up to now, it's just been a dream, but should it become manifest, then you will say, I own that brick, I own that tile, I own that pew. I own that shingle on that roof. I own every blade of grass that is in the front. It's mine. And we may all say that collectively or singly, because as we say it in one voice, I believe, we say it for all of us at the same time, meaning a single voice saying a single thought, articulating the deep faith that is within each one of us. I believe. Not we believe. I believe. I believe. The deacon says it for you all. Tanati, tanati, tanati. Jefaite chenomet mi amin. I believe in very truth. In very truth. Everything that the priest has just prayed. And I believe in the creed. Truly I believe. Truly I believe in one God. I believe. It's the voice of the whole church, whether it is in this state or in this country. It is everywhere to be heard in every language. I believe. All right? So, it's sobering. You know, if you give to the church, it costs you. The church just gave some of its children. It costs the church, but it sustains the church. It sustains us every time someone gives their child to the church. Sometimes it's to a great thing, like monasticism. You give your child to be a monk or a nun or a dedicated deacon or one of the makarasin, as they say in Arabic, one of those who spends her life, in this case, wedded to the church, married to the church. Well, old people, they like grandkids. Well, as the mother of the church, she may give you 1,000 grandchildren. 1,000. But we have to look at it again, not carnally, not materially, not just from the perspective of our own emotion, but through the spiritual eyes of the church. But there must be pain. If you are giving some change in your pocket to the church, you've done nothing. You've done nothing. You might as well just throw it in the lap of a homeless man. It's not like the widow's 2 pennies. Truly. Truly. She gave all that she had. And the Lord counted it as more than all of the rest collectively. So I'm not talking about the amount. I'm talking about if you're doing something that is incidental. The sacrifice today was incidental. Now, it was not planned by us, but God foreknew that it was going to happen. All right? And the Lord allowed it, but there will be good from it. There will be good from it. That's a promise. And he keeps his promises. So again, I salute you, and I say congratulations on the feast of the Lord entering into Jerusalem. You know, at that time, they had the Jews were plotting to kill him. Imagine this. The plot was taking place. The people in Egypt who detonated the bomb were plotting. And they carried out the dirty act of cowardice. Okay, but the church will go on. And if I were there, I would be in that church helping in any way possible, but showing everyone it is not going to deter us, this act of violence. We will be there. And so I ask you to, as you are praying, I know, asking God whether or not it is in his sight good for us to get to this new property. So I ask you, as you pray today, to remember all of those whose names you do not know. And I'm not talking about the ones who died. Believe me, they have no problem whatsoever. Pray for those who are left behind, who are going to miss them, who are going to look at their pictures and cry because they are no longer within reach of their arms, but knowing that they will one day be reconciled and reunited, and they will have more than they count mercy as coin of their relationship with the Lord. Mercy does not begin to cover what they will feel, but they have to be patient, and it will be a long road for very many of them, as it would be for me if anything happened to my grandson. Okay, I just want you to know. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.
Today the same.